praise God. You glad to be in church here today? Yeah, did you come hungry for the word? Did you come ready to receive? Yeah, well, praise God. You know, we're just, again, we're just so excited to have, you know, visiting guests with us today. Again, we just welcome those of you that are visiting Family Church for the first time. My name is Pastor Tim Stallman. I'm the senior pastor here, and we welcome you. Praise God. We know that God has got a very special plan for your life, and that's what we're dedicated to finding His plan for our lives. Amen. You know, there's so many times where we have plans and we ask God, hey, bless my plans. You know, God, I want to do this. God, I want to do that. When the Lord has told us in His word that He already has a plan, that plan is already blessed, and we just need to find that plan. Amen. So that is our goal. The Bible tells us over there in Jeremiah 29:11, He says, I know the thoughts and plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans not to harm you, but to prosper you, to give you hope and a future. Amen. You know, sometimes when people hear that word prosperity, they automatically think about money. Now, praise God that God does meet our needs. He does prosper us that way. But that's the lowest form of prosperity. Listen, if you have money, but your marriage is falling apart, that's not prosperity, right? You know what I mean? There's a lot, you know, prosperity, financial prosperity is the lowest form because it takes every other form of prosperity, you know, to make that one work, you know? And so when God prospers us, He prospers us across the board. Amen. Amen. His answers to life are complete. And we just believe that Family Church is a place where you get answers for your life. You know, sometimes they might not be the answers that we're looking for. Sometimes it might come across as something that really goes against our grain, so to speak. But our answers for our life are found in this Bible, praise the Lord. And that is what this church is dedicated to doing, giving answers from the Bible, regardless of if we like it or don't like it, right? And there's times we're going to be encouraged and we're going to be lifted up and just glad to hear the word of God. And then there's times when we get corrected and we get challenged. Amen. Well, we need to receive that as well. Because it's not the stuff that we're doing right that's blessing our lives. It's the stuff that we're doing apart from the word that can hurt us. And so that's our goal here. Amen. Are you ready for the word of God? Well, turn with me in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 2, and we're going to go over there to verse 27. I'm going to call this message here, We Are Anointed. We are anointed. Praise the Lord. I just want to make a quick note. How many of you have been attending Sunday school? We've had some Sunday school classes here, and we've been talking about angels and demons, but that's what we've been talking about in the adult Sunday school class. Just want to make a note that for those of you that have children, they're learning about something else. We're not going to be teaching three-year-olds about demons. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. So we're excited about what we've been learning. Today we're going to call this message, We Are Anointed. You know, a lot of times when people hear that word anointed, it seems like a churchy word, or it's, you know, a church lingo kind of word, you know. And oftentimes, you know, sometimes it's overused or it's misused. You know, sometimes people, they'll hear a song, and just because they like it, they will say, oh, that song was anointed. Or everything, you know, you might see a minister on TV and say, well, that minister's anointed because I like the way he or she preaches, which that could be true. Praise the Lord. Nothing wrong with that. But, you know, it's a word that's tossed around church circles, you know, so often. And then there's other church circles that don't use that word at all. You know, and people come into church, and maybe a church like this, and they hear the word anointed, and they wonder, what does that mean? How does it pertain to my life? Well, see, here's the thing. It pertains greatly to our lives, but the greatest importance of that word is to get the Bible definition and to understand that if you've made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, the Bible says that you have an anointing, or you have been anointed by God. And so you might be sitting here, and maybe you've been a Christian for a long time, and you might be sitting there, well, what does it mean that I am anointed as a believer? Well, today you're going to find out. Amen. praise God. So let's go on over there to 1 John chapter 2, and we are going to read verse 27. You know, and so many times people think, well, anointing is just for ministers, or to be anointed is just a preacher, or maybe an anointed worship leader, or an anointed worship team, you know, and people sometimes they cast it off just on leadership, when they forget that the Bible says that every single believer has an anointing from heaven.
Amen.
All right? And we need to know and understand what that does. Yeah. You need to come to a revelation in your life where you start saying, I'm anointed.
Yes.
Listen, you're anointed to do what God has called you to do in this life.
Amen.
And that anointing is there to help and to assist what God has for your life. So let's go over there, 1 John 2:27. This is where the Bible, of course, many places tells us. But directly it says in verse 27, but the anointing which you have received of God abides in you. Glory to God. So there is an anointing in you. This scripture is written to every believer who is called upon the name of Jesus Christ. All right? This is the promise of God to you. He says, the anointing which you have received from God through Jesus abides in you or lives in you. And you need not that any man teach you. Now, let me explain what he's talking about. In context, it's talking about there were a lot of false teachers. In those days, in the early century there, the first century of Christianity, there was a lot of false teaching. There was a lot of Gnostics. You know, there's people that believed that Jesus was just a spirit and he didn't really come to this earth. And there was a lot of false teaching going on. And so John here, this is John the Apostle, is correcting that. He says, you need that anointing will teach you. You need not that any man teach you. He's not talking about the fact that we do need pastors. The office of teacher exists in the body of Christ. We need people to teach us and to expound upon the word of God in our life. But what he's talking about here is that there is an anointing on the inside of you that will help you to discern right from wrong, good doctrine versus bad doctrine. And so this is kind of a way of how the Holy Ghost helps us to know what is truth and untruth. Okay? But I want to stick to the point. He says, the anointing which you have received of him lives in you, abides in you. You need not that any man teach you, as the same anointing teaches you of all things and is truth and is no lie, even as it has taught you, you shall abide in him. All right? So this is what I want you to see, that there is an anointing, it is from God, and it came to live on the inside of you the moment you made Jesus Christ the Lord and Savior of your life.
That's right.
Amen? We may come back to this because this begins to teach us how we use that anointing. I want to give you some definition for the word anointing so we know and understand what we're talking about. Listen, just because something excites you doesn't mean that it's necessarily anointed. There's some good Christian songs on Christian radio that might just be fun to listen to and you like them, but doesn't mean that it's anointed, all right? But you are anointed, praise the Lord. The word anointing, it means to set apart. It means set apart. It also is the same word for consecrated. The word consecrated is the same thing, means to be set apart. It means holy. The word holy, consecrated, and anointed all have the same definition. All right? It means to be set apart, set aside for the purpose of God.
Amen.
Set aside for a specific use for God. Amen. For the uses of God. Remember in the Old Testament when Moses was commanded to set up the tabernacle, and when they had the temple, remember how they would have the instruments. They would have the censer of incense. They would have all these different instruments, and the priests would go in, and they would anoint those tools for the service of God in the temple. And what they would do is that they would literally put oil on it, and that symbolized that those instruments were now set apart for the specific use for God's holy worship.
That's right, sure.
Now, we've moved into the New Testament now, and how many of you know that it's not the, you know, we don't have to go put oil on our drum set.
Yeah.
You know, we don't have to put oil on this pulpit or, you know, oil on the guitars or the keyboard or anything of that. because the anointed instruments of worship are no longer the golden candlesticks in the censers.
Right.
The anointed instruments of worship are me and you.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Sure.
Where that anointing of the Old Testament, it was symbolizing the use. But God was saying, there's coming a day where I'm going to anoint the hearts of mankind.
Amen.
And they will worship. Their hearts will be the instrument of worship.
Yeah.
God was never after the menorah. You know what I mean? He was never after the incense burner.
Right.
He was never after the showbread table.
No.
He was never after the golden ephod that the priest was wearing. That was not his main priority.
Right.
His main priority is that he wanted to go back and live in humanity again. And he came to that point where
yes.
he came to live back on the inside of us again. Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad? And it says now in verse 27, but the anointing, the setting apart, the consecration, the holiness, the purpose which you have received of him abides in you. Glory to God. Go over there, you know, for the sake of time. Can you bring up 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 11? 1 Corinthians 6, 11. And can you bring it up in the Amplified Bible? Let's bring that up in the Amplified. Let me just show you this again in the New Testament. And now this is written to all Christians. He says, and such some of you were once, but you were washed clean.
Yes,
hallelujah. And so you're going to see that he's talking about the anointing here. But you were washed clean. You were purified by a complete atonement for sin and made free from the guilt of sin.
Amen.
I'll tell you what, one of the greatest captivities that you can get free from is free from guilt, free from shame, free from missing it, free from your past. Listen, that anointing that came to live on the inside of you, it not only set you apart, it not only made you holy for the purposes of God, but it washed you clean of all guilt that you've ever faced. And see, that's why we want to live right, because we don't want to go back to that guilt and shame, because that's not the life that we've been redeemed to. So it's a complete atonement, a washing made free from the guilt of sin. And you were consecrated, set apart, hallowed.
Yeah,
praise the Lord. Or the same word, anointed.
Sure.
You were anointed. You were set apart, made holy, consecrated. You know, there is a lot of different you know, groups that have different ideas. You know, the same word consecrated is also a familiar church word as sanctification.
Yep. Yeah.
The word sanctified. Have you ever heard the church term, the Bible term, sanctification?
Yep.
And there's a lot of different people that have different ideas. Well, sanctified is when you start living right,
yes.
and there's an ongoing process of sanctification. Well, let's look what the Bible says.
Yeah.
The Bible says that you aren't going to get sanctified in the future. The Bible says that you became consecrated, holy, and sanctified the moment you made Jesus your Lord.
Amen.
There is no work that you could ever do to make yourself set apart for the uses of God. Jesus' work, God's work at the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus is what makes you sanctified, consecrated, set apart from for the purposes of God. It's our job to cooperate with that. Some people, the Christians are set apart, they're sanctified, they're just not living like it. And so when they don't live like it, then they're violating the word of God. But there's nothing more that God has to do to consecrate you. There's no greater gift, there's no greater blood that is going to be shed that is going to set you apart more than you are right now. Listen, the Christian who has been saved for 10 minutes is just as consecrated, sanctified, holy, and anointed as the believer that has been saved for 100 years.
Right.
But maybe that believer that's been saved longer has renewed their mind. They're living in step with the Word
sure.
of God and cooperating with what God has already done.
That's right.
I'm not trying to get God to do anything more for me. Jesus said on the cross before he gave up his spirit, he said, it is
finished.
It's a finished work.
Yes.
He doesn't have to sanctify you any more than you already are. He doesn't have to set you apart any more than you already are. You and I just need to renew our minds to what He has already done and what He has called finished.
That's right.
Amen. Praise the Lord. So notice it says, Paul is talking, now he's writing this to the Corinthian church.
Yes.
Now, have you read about the Corinthian church? This was a carnal group.
Yes.
They weren't living right. So much to the point that if you read chapter 5, there was a man in that church having an affair with his stepmother behind his dad's back. And the church was so loving and accepted, they didn't even discipline him. There was some real trouble in that church. Oh, man, you hear the ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah. You know, that church, of course, had some errors. All they did, you know, they would come together, and they instead of preaching a discernible message, they would just speak in tongues and call it spirituality. And Paul had to correct the public use and private use of speaking in tongues. And so this church, in all practical meanings, was the most carnal, misguided, bunch of the New Testament that had really missed the mark when it came to following God. And so they weren't living completely right. But notice Paul said, you're still consecrated. You're still set apart. You're still holy, not because you're doing everything right, but because the anointing that God gave through Jesus is now living in you, washed you and made you clean. Now they just need to renew their mind and live like it, right? And so you're set apart, hallowed, anointed, and you were justified. You were pronounced righteous by trusting in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Holy Spirit of our God. So you were made justified in God's sight. You were washed in God's sight. You were made holy in God's sight. You were made set apart in His sight.
Yes.
You were given anointing in His
yes.
sight.
Amen.
Oh my goodness, God has done it.
Yeah.
He's provided everything we need. You know, so often we're talking to God as if there's something more for Him to do. There is nothing more that God needs to do.
Right.
There's nothing, there's no more money He has to give you.
Right.
There's no more healing He has to give you.
Right. Yeah.
There's no more ability that He has to give you.
Right.
It's already given.
Already.
Now your job is to learn
yes.
what that is, renew your mind with it, so you start living the way God has commanded us to live.
That's right?
Right? Praise the Lord. So isn't it good to know that we have an anointing? Now remember, in the Old Testament, the vessels, the brass, you know, the brass lavers, the brass incense burner, the brass candlesticks, and all those things of the Old Testament, they were the vessels of honor. Okay? Now in the New Testament, we are the vessels of honor. Go with me. Go over to 2 Timothy. I'll have you turn there. Why not? Go to 2 Timothy. Praise the Lord. Over there in your New Testament, after 1st, 2nd Thessalonians, and then 1st and 2nd Timothy, go to 2nd Timothy chapter 2 and we're going to start in verse 20. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Say, well, we're doing a lot of teaching. Well, then you're going to see how it pertains to you. Because I'm anointed. And I'm not anointed because I'm a pastor, though there's an anointing for that. I'm anointed first and foremost because I'm a believer.
Amen.
And it abides in me.
Yeah.
It works in me. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
It sets me apart. It sets me. Listen, my life is not to serve the world. My life isn't to give to serve a whole bunch of different worldly things. My life is set apart for the purposes of God.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. There's a good plan for our lives. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 20 says this, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. Meaning, in any house, there are vessels that take greater precedence over the other, right? When you have company coming over, and maybe you have someone important coming to your house, maybe your boss or maybe a long lost relative, or or somebody that you just want to put out your best. You don't get out the paper plates and the paper cups and set the table with that, right? Now, nothing wrong with paper plates and paper cups. They work great at a picnic, right? maybe some of you have done that. I don't know. Praise the Lord. It's fine. But I'm saying if you're trying to, if it's somebody you're trying to impress, probably not the best. Typically when it's something like, Thanksgiving meal, you don't typically eat Thanksgiving meal on a paper plate. Typically there's times of the year or Christmas or whatever, you get out the more honorable vessels. You get out, the old fine china. And growing up, people had silver platters, which they just don't seem to be, around too often. Now everything's fake and it's not real silver, but I remember when there was real silver platters. And if you had one of those, and if you still have one of those, you have a few bucks sitting there now, right? Because now silver has gone up in value and so on. And so in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but of wood and earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. Obviously, you don't honor a paper plate like you do your grandmother's fine china that you inherited, right? Okay? You understand that, and I don't want to be crude, but there's different vessels in the home that have different uses, right? Obviously, the toilet is a vessel that doesn't always, enough said, enough said. But it doesn't have the same use, praise the Lord, as vessels of great honor that you set out to impress. And so, obviously, God is making this a point, but he's talking about us. Look at verse 21. He says this. He says, if a man, therefore, purge himself from these, meaning he's talking about character flaws. Meaning, if you develop good character and you purge out of your life the former self. Yes. You know what I mean? Those things that you used to do in your old life, the Bible says they need to be purged. You need to get rid of them. So if you will purge yourself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. So, in the same way, people, now remember, it's not God's choice. God wants to use all of us, there's an anointing in all of us to be used, but notice we have to cooperate with it.
Yes, we do.
We can't call on Christ and then live like the devil and then expect to be a vessel fit for the master's use. I don't know about you, but I want to be a vessel of honor.
Oh, yes.
I want to be a vessel that when God looks upon this earth, he says, that's somebody I can use.
Yes.
That's somebody, because just like those instruments in the old sanctuary in the temple of the Old Testament, they were anointed for a special purpose for God. So God looks upon us and says, there's a vessel of honor. There's someone that I can work my plan through. But you notice this, we have to be willing to be purged. Can't live any old life that we think out of our mind and think that God's going to use us. See? The anointing of God on the inside of us has set us apart from that for that use, but we have to work up with that anointing. Because if we disregard it, if we frustrate the grace of God, if we, if we take that precious anointing of God and then go live in a worldly life and don't put God first, then we're not going to be a vessel of honor. I don't want to be the paper plate in God's cupboard. I want to be the silver platter in God's cupboard. Amen. I want to be anointed and set apart for something special. When I get to heaven, I want to see the souls that are there because of my obedience and faithfulness.
Amen.
I want to see the lives that I've touched.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
I want God to say, look at the fruit. Yes. These lives were touched because you were faithful and you didn't just go live any old way you wanted to. You purged yourself from wrong living. Amen. Glory to God. And you became a vessel that was prepared for every good work. Just like those vessels. No doubt you have a china closet or, one of those hutches or whatever. We have one at our house. And I notice that those plates and things, you don't just go over to that china closet and microwave your hot pocket on there.
No.
You know what I mean? It is set aside for the more honorable and the bigger assignments. I want to be in God's china closet. You know what I mean? That when he looks for a vessel of honor, that he'll go over and choose me. He'll go over and choose you. Because you're purged of these worldly things. See, you're anointed to be used for great work. Notice it says you are to be prepared for every good work. Can you bring this up in the Amplified Bible? Hallelujah. This is just for starters. So whoever cleanses himself from what is ignoble and unclean, who separates himself from contact with contaminating and corrupting influences. Woo! Now we're going to get to some preaching now. Whoa. Remember when I said that sometimes there's correction? He says, those that separate themselves from ignoble, contaminating, corrupting influences will then himself be a vessel set apart, anointed, and useful, anointed, for honorable and noble purposes, consecrated and profitable to the master, fit and ready for any good work. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. Glory to God. You know, notice it says that, you know, if we accept contaminating influences in our life, contaminating influences. You know, some of us have contaminating influences. You know, have you ever gone to a restaurant, even a nice restaurant, and the place has a good reputation for excellence, and, you know, everything might be fancy. Everything around you might be crystal chandeliers and, you know, fine decor and all this. But if you receive your meal and you look on the plate, and the plate has a bunch of crusty debris and nastiness, you don't care about the chandeliers anymore.
Yeah.
You don't care about the decoration. If the vessel came out to you and it's dirty and nasty, you don't care about the reputation anymore. You don't care about the atmosphere. You don't care about the classiness. All you know that is not a good work anymore.
Right.
You cannot use it. You will not use it. I don't know about you, and I don't want to sound snobby or anything, but when you're paying for an expensive meal, and you ever had that before? And they'll come out and they'll set like your bread plate and stuff, and you look at the dish and there's a bunch of material on it. Have you ever had that experience? And I'll tell them, no. If I'm paying for this, I don't care what kind of grand piano you have in here, whatever, I'm not eating off this. That's what's happening when Jesus is sitting at the table looking for a vessel fit for his use. He looks at the corrupted contamination that we've allowed on our lives and said, I can't use them. Listen, you might love grandma's old fine china, but if grandma never washed it,
there you go.
And if grandma never removed 50 years of Thanksgiving dinners off that fine china, you don't care how valuable or precious it is, you're not using it.
Yeah.
Just because Jesus won't use you doesn't mean that Jesus doesn't love you.
Yeah, sure.
He loves you, but there is a difference between love and being used.
Sure. Good word.
Oh, well, praise the Lord. There's a lot of Christians, they'll say, well, you know, all I want is God's love. Well, you have it.
Yes.
You had God's love even when you weren't saved.
Yes.
You moved into a higher form. You moved into his family,
yes.
All right? But now, a lot of Christians are just okay with just being loved. But they never want to go to the ultimate height, which is being used. Being used. Being used. Oh, I just want to attend church, take my notes, go home, and never do anything for God. Woo! Praise the Lord. You hear that silence? The holy hush was deafening in here when I said that. Because a lot of Christians, you know, they just want to, you know, have their routine with God and then just never do anything. Listen, I want to be used. The moment I got saved, I didn't know much, but I tell you what I did know is I want to be used. I want to be used. And I don't mean I just want to be used, you know, just serving within these walls, but every day of my life. You know, when I was a school teacher, Lord, use me. I'm going to witness to my coworkers. Yeah, praise the Lord.
Amen.
Lord, use me. Praise God.
Amen.
What is God trying to say to us here? He wants you to have influence.
Yeah.
And that anointing that he's put on the inside of you is an anointing to have greater influence. But so often as God solve my troubles, listen, your troubles will be solved when you start saying, Lord, use me. I want to be a vessel fit for your use. Oh, God isn't looking for the golden censer or the candlestick anymore. He's looking for the anointing inside you and me that'll cry out and say, I want to be used. Glory to God. Well, praise the Lord. Now, let's start talking about what the anointing is and what it does. Go with me to Numbers, back in the Old Testament, the book of Numbers, chapter 18. Yep. And since I'm a vessel set apart for his use, you know, you don't take grandma's fine china, you know. How many of you remember as a kid, you would find, you know, the old pizza pan or, you know, an old plastic plate or something like that? And the first thing, at least for a young boy, I don't know if girls think this way or not, but I saw that thing and I saw it as something I could throw.
Yeah.
I saw it as a frisbee.
Yeah.
I saw it as, wow, look at that thing. I could probably let it fly. I don't know. Does anyone else ever think that way? I still think that way. You know, there's this pizza place down in Warren, Napoli Pizza, and I grew up going down there, and they always would serve their pizza for years on these aluminum plates. Is there anybody who has ever been there before? Praise to God. This is not an endorsement for or against Napoli Pizza. I love their pizza, by the way. I like that thin New York style, you know, that they have. But I remember you'd get that and you'd get the, and I remember from the time I was 5 until just recently, you're still getting those same aluminum plates. And every time I see one of those plates, I just want to, it's thin, it's just like aluminum, silver. It looks like a hubcap.
Sure.
It looks like a hubcap. And I just take that thing, I just have this temptation. I just want to, I want to go out in the parking lot and smuggle one of those out and just, and just give it a toss. But how many of you know you wouldn't do that with grandma's fine china? You would treat it with great honor, all right? This is what a lot of God's people aren't doing. They are not realizing that your life is very precious and very valuable. And if you won't be willing to be used, who's God going to use? Who's he going to use if he doesn't use you and me? The world isn't serving him. He's not, you know. And I don't say this in a demeaning, critical way, but the people out sitting at the casino right now pulling the levers and gambling their life away, God can't use them. You know what I mean? The people that are sitting in the bar, you know, and I remember because I was one of them, not going to be a vessel fit for the use, you know? And unfortunately, a lot of believers are doing those things, and they're wondering why God isn't using them. Why they're not seeing. See, the miracles of God that you've been believing for are going to happen when he uses you.
Yeah, amen.
Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Anyway, go there to Numbers. Praise the Lord. Vessels of honor. You know, and if you're a vessel of honor, you're entrusted with something more valuable. You know, why is it, you know, we talk about being free, of course. In a lot of Christian circles, we think, okay, when you become a Christian, you shouldn't drink alcohol, you shouldn't smoke cigarettes, and some of those initial things that just seem obvious we shouldn't do. And of course, for so long, it comes across as being a rule. You know, don't smoke cigarettes, don't drink alcohol, okay? And I agree with those statements.
Sure.
However, I don't not do those things because it's a rule.
That's right.
I don't do those things because it will make me a vessel that God can't use. It's a contaminating influence. What is alcohol? It's a contaminating influence. Listen, why don't we, you know, I don't go and sit down in front of trash, you know, movies with sex and crazy violence and all that stuff. You know, I don't sit down and throw the Marilyn Manson disc in and give it a listen. I know. Is he even around anymore? I don't know. But I'm just making a reference that you guard that stuff, not because it's a rule, but because I don't want the contaminating influence to put me on the sideline where I can't be used.
Right.
Amen. You know, there's friendships. There's people in here that you have friendships, and they're a contaminating influence. Now, God isn't against friendships, and he's not against friendships even with people who don't know Jesus, but he's against their influence on your life. He is against them trying to pull you into wickedness. And it's not that God's against that person. He doesn't want you to be disqualified from being used. Friendships can be a contaminating influence. I can't tell you how, you know, and especially young women, and it's been men too, but how many of God's people I've seen that they love God, they're serving God, but they're single, and their heart, of course, rightfully so, longs for a spouse, longs for a relationship, but yet they're willing to, you know, to bring somebody in, and all of a sudden, you know, they allowed loneliness. They allowed a loneliness to convince them to bring somebody who's a contaminating influence in. And all of a sudden, that person, they start to follow their advice, live like they live. There's a lot of relationships that are contaminating influences. Oh, praise God. Listen, there was a lot of, unfortunately, when I got saved, I knew. And of course, I made it very clear what I was about and that I was living for Jesus. And there was a lot of friends that didn't want me around. But that was okay because they, you know, they weren't going the way of God.
Right.
And I understand that there was a lot of influence there that they wanted to see me fail.
Yeah.
You don't want to surround yourself
right.
by someone who is hoping you fall so that they can ease their conscience on you. Listen, I tell you what, there are people all around you that are loving to see you slip into sin because it eases their conscience to say, well, if they're messing up, well, who cares if I'm messing up? But I tell you what people in this world need to see, a vessel that is fit for the master's use, who is anointed and set apart, because the world will sense that and they will know that you are set apart. You're something different about you. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. You know, I want people to see me and say, man, you know, he's ready and fit for the work of the Lord. Glory to God. See, we separate ourselves from the contact with contaminating and corrupting influences. Now, that doesn't mean you don't love upon people that don't know Jesus. You just don't bring them into your closest confidence and do what they do. Come on, there is no doubt. Every one of us that could search our hearts and realize that there's contaminating influence. Well, praise the Lord.
Amen.
Numbers 18. Numbers chapter 18. We're going to read verses 8 and 9. I want to show you this, what the anointing does and can do. Number one, are you ready? The anointing of God is given to you to take care of the precious things of God. The anointing is given to you so you can handle or bear his special promises. Okay? How many of you know God needs someone he can trust? You know, it's amazing to me that there's a lot of believers that are believing for the prosperity of God, but then they themselves don't live in the character of God. You know, oh God, thank you that you meet my needs. Thank you that you help pay the bills. Thank you that, you know, you might even be a tither. I'm a tither and you pour out blessing. There's not room enough to receive. But then you go live like a heathen during the week. You're going to disqualify that. God isn't going to entrust anything. The blessing of whether it's prosperity. He needs to be able to trust you before, you know, he will give that. I've said this for a long time. If you want to ruin most Christians' lives, give them $1 million. Give them $1 million. I have seen Christians get money and get it quickly and have it destroy their lives.
Oh, yeah.
Because never forget this. I say it all the time. Cash without character is a curse. If you prosper financially faster than your character is growing, that money will crush you.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you're going to receive the blessing and the bounty of God, God is more interested in your character and your ability to handle or bear that than you know, having it. He cares about your character, and God will give people an anointing to have that influence. Listen, how many of you, let's just go ahead. Can we just talk straight here?
Yeah.
Do we don't talk any other way around here, do we? Right? But I mean, how many of you want to lead somebody personally to Jesus Christ? All right? How many of you want to be a soul winner? You don't need a pulpit and you don't have to lead a crusade to do that. All right? But listen, it takes an anointing to do that. God isn't going to entrust that precious opportunity with someone who isn't a vessel fit for his use. Yeah. The more that a vessel is fit for the use, the more honorable its use will be. All right? Praise the Lord. Watch this in the Old Testament. Praise the Lord. Can we go ahead and shut the back door there? I'm getting the glare off the windshield. We have windshields in the parking lot, and it is like a laser beam to my retina right now. There's like a trillion lumens beaming right in at me right now. Praise God. Numbers 18, verse 8. And the Lord spoke unto Aaron. Remember who Aaron is? He is the brother of Moses, and he was called to be the first high priest of Israel. And the Lord spoke unto Aaron, behold, I also have given you the charge of my heave offerings. Ooh, heave offerings. Now, the heave offering was an offering in Israel where they would literally come up and throw their most precious animal or whatever on the altar, okay? A heave offering. Sometimes it wouldn't be an animal. Sometimes it would be grain or produce or whatever, but basically it was their valuables. Now, how many of you know that when you give to a ministry, your valuables don't go to heaven? Okay? You know, I know many of you think that an angel descends and we just give them the offering buckets and they go up, but they don't. They stay on the earth to provide for the service of the Lord. And so in this case, now this doesn't happen here or in the New Testament. But in the Old Testament, Aaron, he was the first of the Levites.
Yes, that's right.
And the Levites were the priests of God that conducted the service in the temple and so on. And back then, every other tribe of Israel, the 11 other tribes of Israel, would all give a tithe or a tenth to the Levites.
Yeah.
So the Levites were given 11 tenths. Imagine 11 separate tribes giving you a tithe to the Levites, and then the Levites would all divide it up, the priests. Oh, come on. Somebody make the connection here where I'm going with this. No, me as a pastor, I don't get your tithes. What you put in here, yes, I receive a salary out of that, but believe me, it's a smaller percentage of providing for the ministry at large. I do not take your money buckets and just go home. I know a lot of people think that about preachers, but this preacher doesn't. I get a salary. I'm a former school teacher, and my salary is right around what a school teacher still gets paid. Praise the Lord, just so you know. All right? And so, but in the Old Testament, all the other tribes came in, and the finances or the wealth was laid up for the priests. Man, it sure be good to be a priest. Man, wonder what that signified. I wonder who God wants to bless in the New Testament. Who are the priests of the New Testament? No, it's not the pastor. No, it's not the prophet or the evangelist. Can you just for fun bring up Revelation 1:6? Just for fun. Because just in case you wonder who the priests are nowadays, and this is talking to Christians, and God has made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.
Yes.
Who was the group of people in the Old Testament that God made sure prospered more than any other group? The Levites, the priests. Listen, we are kings and priests. Yep, listen, I've known a lot of bad kings and so have you, but I haven't known too many poor ones. Meaning, God is going to care for his kings and priests. He did in the Old Testament. He's going to do in the New. Oh, somebody said, there he goes, preaching about money. No, I'm preaching about how God wants to take care of you. I'm preaching about how the Bible says over there, what is it, Proverbs chapter 18, or is it 22? Maybe it's 18:22, but it says that the it's not, by the way. But it tells us that the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just. Do you think God put all these all this finances in the world just so the devil and his kids can have it? I mean, do you think that the wealth of the world is laid up so rock bands and Motley Crue can travel in a private jet? They probably don't anymore. I don't know. They're probably... Yeah, they're probably taking the city bus by now or whatever. But anyhow, you know what I mean? You know, I mean, we see shows and we see Ozzy Osbourne flying around. I mean, is it really, is that what we think the wealth of the world is laid up for? The wicked? No, the Bible says that the wealth of the wicked is laid up for us, the kings and the priests. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Now go back over there to Numbers 18:8. Okay, just so you know what we're talking about here. Listen, when I see the Old Testament talking about priests, that means he's talking about me.
That's right. Sure.
He's talking about you.
Oh, yeah.
Because the Bible says that those things of the Old Testament were just a reflection of what God would really do for us in the New Testament.
That's right. Oh, yeah.
Listen, if God made sure to anoint the Levites to handle the heave offerings or the blessings of God, I tell you what, we're anointed to prosper.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for your enthusiasm. The Lord spoke unto Aaron, behold, I also have given thee the charge of my heave offerings, meaning all the offerings of all the other tribes, all this financial blessing that's coming in. He said, I've given you charge over it. Now, that doesn't mean Aaron personally was going to get all of it, but he would divide it amongst the priests, and there was more than enough. He said, I've given you charge of my heave offerings of all the holy things of the children of Israel, unto thee have I given them by reason of the anointing, and to thy sons by ordinance forever. 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 God said he made an eternal promise to the priesthood that he would anoint them to handle the heave offering or the blessing of God.
That's right.
Well, I got news for you. The Levites of this earth today are in this room right now. Okay? And they're in every other church that preaches the gospel. They're in every other church that calls themselves born again by Jesus Christ. They are the priesthood of this earth. And God told Aaron, he said, I have anointed you to handle it. All right, let me show you again. Can you bring up, now we're testing because I wasn't prepared to go this way. Numbers 8:18, are we there? Is that right? So 10 chapters before, you can turn over there. Yep, nope, not that one. Where am I going? You know where I'm going. Or is it Deuteronomy 8:18? That's what I'm talking about. You know, those books of the law, the Torah, yeah. You know. The Pentateuch. All right. This is the King James. Notice what it says here. God speaking to Israel, which is a foreshadowing of what he would do for us. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is God that gives thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. Who is it that gives power to get wealth? God does. I know that that really trips up a religious mind. You know, oh, no. God gives the power to make people poor. There's people that have to swear to make an oath of poverty before they can minister. How terrible. How terrible. That's awful. It's rotten. This, you say, well, he's preaching about money. I'm not preaching about money. I'm preaching about the anointing. I'm preaching that the anointing helps us to be able to bear or carry the blessing of God. And it isn't just financial. Like I said earlier, financial prosperity is the lowest of all prosperity. Yeah, because if you can prosper and have money, but your kids aren't living for God, you're not prospering. That's not prosperity. Come on. You know, you can have money and be depressed in your mind. That's not prosperity. You know, come on now. But just so you see that God said it was the power to get wealth. Now go back over there to Numbers 8:18. He says, or 18:8, Numbers 18:8. He says, unto thee have I given them by reason of the anointing.
Yes.
Listen, the anointing is the qualification for the Lord's blessing.
Yes.
You have been anointed to carry the blessing of God. The spiritual blessing of God. Didn't your vessel, your body, the Bible calls your body a vessel. God has now made it the temple of the Holy Ghost.
Yes, right.
Doesn't that mean that God had to prepare or to anoint you to handle his presence?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, he did. He's going to put his presence in the inside of you. You're going to have an anointing to carry that. So it's spiritual blessing. It is physical blessing, and it is material blessing. He has anointed you, he says, to carry the blessing by reason of the anointing, by the reason that you've been set apart, by the reason that you're different than the world. Come on, somebody. By reason that you are the priesthood of this earth. Amen. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. And then go down to verse 9. He says, this shall be thine of the most holy things, reserved from the fire. Now, he's talking about when everyone was throwing their precious calf or their ox or their lamb or their sheep or their goat or whatever. Not to upset any vegetarians, but there was a lot of good food on that altar. And they wouldn't allow that good food to go to waste. God did not take those burnt and cooked animals for himself. He said to the priest, he says, you go ahead. You take from the fire. Meaning the cooking fire, the altar fire, the fire. Come on now. You say, how does this apply to me? This is applying to you. God said it to them. He's saying to you, take from the fire.
That's right.
Be anointed to take and receive the blessing. Praise God. He said, this shall be thine of the most holy things, reserved from the fire. Every oblation of theirs, every meat offering of theirs, every sin offering of theirs, every trespass offering of theirs, which they shall render unto me, shall be most holy for you and for your sons.
Yes.
Glory to God. Listen, as the world keeps sinning, and as we keep living right, everything that they're working for and striving for, all the finances that they worship and love, it's going to have to transfer into the hands of God's sons and daughters. Because we're anointed to carry it. We're anointed to carry it. Notice, he said, listen, all the tribes are going to come in every oblation. Every grain offering, every meat offering, every water offering. Every offering that's going to come in, he says, it's going to be for you, Aaron, and your sons.
That's right. Come on.
It's going to be for the priesthood. Listen, you are anointed by God to be blessed. Now, does that mean you'll never be challenged? No, it doesn't mean that. It means that you take this and you apply it to your faith. Because there's still so many Christians, they haven't broken through that revelation of just how much God wants to care for you. And no, I am not talking first about money.
Right.
You know, anyone that has ever accused this church or myself of being money-minded, listen, I'm telling you, that's a joke.
Yeah.
People say, oh, that's money-mindedness. No, it's not. No, you're money-minded for accusing a preacher for preaching the Word of God.
That's it.
Yeah. Praise the Lord. I have to apply this to my personal faith just like you. Glory to God. But we break through this revelation and we start to say, oh my goodness, God is taking care of me. He is going to meet my need. He is going to be there. Praise the Lord. Because by reason of the anointing. I'm anointed. I'm different. My economy. Notice Aaron's economy and the Levite economy wasn't everyone else's economy. There was another source for Aaron and his sons. Yep. The world is going to have to worry about the stock market. The world's going to have to worry about energy prices. The world has to think about those things because they're dependent upon those things. But we're not. We're cared for because we are anointed. Father, I thank you. Family Church is anointed to prosper. We're anointed to prosper spiritually. We're anointed to prosper financially. We're anointed to prosper mentally and physically. We're anointed to prosper in our marriages. Glory to God. We're anointed to prosper in our businesses. We're anointed to prosper as parents. We're anointed to prosper in our jobs and our place of employment. Listen, you should be the absolute best employee that your company has. Christians should be the smartest people group on the face of the earth. Listen, the anointing of God on the inside will make you the best teacher, the best mechanic, the best supervisor, the best team leader, the best burger flipper, the best paper boy. Amen. The anointing of God. Hallelujah. He said to carry and to hold the most hallowed things of Israel. All right? Listen, and more than any form of money on this earth, we are the ones that carry the anointing to people that are lost and don't have Jesus, that need Jesus. Listen, you might be, you are. You are the portal to heaven for somebody. Let me say that again. You are the best hope that this lost world has. If you don't tell them, no one's going to tell them. Let me tell you another thing you're anointed to do. The anointing allows you to proclaim the gospel. Let me show you this. Go over to Romans. I wasn't planning on going there, but I'll go there. Because the most hallowed thing that God can give you is his influence. That's prosperity. He said, I've anointed you, Aaron, and you have a new level of influence. I'm going to trust you with more responsibility. The anointing of God and it will allow you to carry more of his responsibility. Praise the Lord. Go to Romans 10. Oh, I'm fixing the close, which means nothing. Praise God. Glory to God. Now go to verse 8. It says, but what saith it, meaning the word? Paul says, Romans 10:8. But what says the word? The word of God is nigh thee, even in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Now you think, well, preaching is for preachers. No, the word preach here means to proclaim. You don't need to be a full-time minister to proclaim. Yeah. And, of course, you know verse 9. It says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Now, go down there to verse 13. It says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Hallelujah. If you're here today and you need to be saved, today's your day. Because I'm telling you, God is more than able. He's more than willing. And in verse 14, he says, how then shall they call on Jesus in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Jesus in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a proclaimer? The word preacher is the word proclaimer. Listen, the people at your jobs, the people in your families, the people at your schools, the people at your businesses, if you don't share with them, they have no hope.
Right.
How shall they hear without someone proclaiming?
That's right.
Without someone proclaiming, you are a portal to heaven for someone's eternity. Right now, someone has an eternal address of hell. But because of your influence, because of the anointing that God has put on the inside of you to carry that precious influence of the gospel, praise the Lord, you can change their spiritual address for eternity. Glory to God. So this is what the anointing is and what it is. It does. It gives us ability to carry out the holy purpose of God. We're anointed for this. I'm anointed to carry the gospel. I'm anointed to proclaim it. Whether I'm proclaiming it here in the pulpit or I'm talking to somebody on the street, I'm anointed to say it. I am anointed to say it. I am anointed to be entrusted with God's holy things. God can entrust us with his blessing because we're anointed for it. Amen. Hallelujah. Let me show you, before we go any further, let me say this. It's dangerous, though, to try to do things you're not anointed for. And this is where believers get themselves in trouble. They take the precious anointing of Jesus on the inside and they carry it to unholy places. Yeah. Taking a born-again believer, taking the presence of God and going and bellying up to the bar in a place like that and sitting there and enjoying that kind of atmosphere, you are not anointed to do that. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, you're not anointed for that. You're taking that thing which is precious and you're putting it into an unholy place. Think about all the times when people do that. Listen, other Christians, they get into trouble because they do things they're not called to do. It is very dangerous to do something you are not called to do. Okay, if God didn't lead you to do that, he didn't anoint you to do it. If God leads you to do something, he anoints you to do it. Okay? A lot of Christians will chase jobs. They will chase finances or a better salary. They'll jump around from location to location trying to seek a better job. I can't tell you how many people in our area said, we just can't stay in this area. You know, we're learning, we're growing, we're prospering in church, but we need a better employment, so I need to move to Arizona or North Carolina or, all these places and stuff. And what they're doing is that they're doing something they're not anointed for because they're being led by finances and not led by God. And if you're not led to do it, you're not anointed to do it. There's a lot of preachers, unfortunately, that aren't anointed to do it. Because they're preaching or they're trying to start churches because it's a new career endeavor, they want to be somebody, they want to be visible or something like that, but they're not anointed to do it, and that is something you don't want to try to do unless you're anointed to do, because whatever you're not anointed to do that you do will crush you. Whatever you're not anointed to do that you choose to do, that thing will crush you. Praise God. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Well, we want to come over here, and I know we can't afford this house, but we're going to buy it anyway. Did God tell you to do that? No, but we're going to do it anyway. You're not anointed for it then. And that thing's going to crush you. Well, praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, I've always wanted this job. I've always wanted to do that. Well, is God telling you to do it? Well, I don't know that yet. Well, then be careful. You better have the leading of God before you do something, because if you're not led to do it, if he didn't tell you to do it, he's not going to anoint you for it. But here's the good thing. If he told you to do something, he's anointed you to do it.
Amen.
Amen. I am anointed as a pastor, not because I put myself here. All right? I am anointed because this is what God told me to do. All right? And therefore, I'm anointed to do it. I see a lot of other pastors that feel crushed by the ministry. I have never felt that way a day in my life. I'm not saying there's not tests. I'm not saying that there's not trials or whatever. Believe me, there's been plenty of opportunities for the mind to try to run wild on me. Okay? But I've never felt crushed. You know, they say that 40% of all preachers that go through a building project quit by the end of it, or they die. There's a lot of stress on ministers. And this was in denominational churches and stuff. I read a statistic that did a study on this, that it was 40% of all ministers that go through any kind of building project at all in their church, they quit or die before it ends. And so many people ask, I know you were really busy with that building project a few years ago. I mean, how did you get through it? I never felt stressed at all. I mean, never have felt crushed being a minister. You know what I mean? I mean, of course, there's temptation and trials on my mind and things like that, but I'm saying I've never, you know, thought, oh my goodness, this ministry is just crushing. Never at all. The more we do, the more that God calls us to do, the more the anointing is there to do it. Amen. And if someone's, you know, living life every day, day in, day out, month in, month out, year in, year out, and they're crushed by what they're doing, they're probably not anointed for it. Because God doesn't call you to do something and then allow it to crush you. Now, yes, you might go through trials in your mind. Yes, you might face issues. I'm not saying that. But you will not be crushed in doing it. Oh, praise the Lord. It's dangerous to mishandle things that are anointed. It's dangerous to mishandle the tithe. The tithe in the Bible is called the devoted, holy, consecrated, anointed thing. You don't want to take God's anointed and go spend it at the movie theater or at the mall. You don't want to do that. You know? Pastor Scott Webb, you know, the Lord led him and just with some revelation, you know, he said this. He's like, you treat the tithe like it's radioactive. You know, it is. You know, I understand what he's saying. He said it's so holy and important to God that Christians just mishandle it all over. Well, we'll just spend the tithe here, do this, do that. You're mishandling it. It's dangerous to mishandle things that have the anointing of God. Ooh, man, do I want to say that? Goodness. Listen, this doesn't just go for you, this goes for me too. The Bible says it is very dangerous to lift your hand against the Lord's anointed. Remember over there, 1 Samuel chapter 24, when King Saul was trying to kill David, David had a perfect right to defend his life, but because Saul was anointed as the king of Israel, David didn't touch him. And David came out and he said, Saul, look it, you tried to kill me, but I could have harmed you and I didn't. I didn't want to lift my hand against the Lord's anointed. Listen, first and foremost, we think of that as it's dangerous to come against a man or woman of God who is standing in a position of authority and leadership. And that's absolutely true. That's absolutely true. All these people out there that are trying to make it a consumer product to criticize preachers, you know, on TV, ABC News and all that stuff, they're walking on dangerous ground. You do not want to lift your hands against someone that is anointed by God. But do you know that's not ministers only? That's everyone who calls himself a believer.
Amen.
You don't want to find yourself criticizing and attacking and insulting another believer.
No.
Why? Because they're anointed.
Yeah.
You're going to walk out of this service today and say, don't mess with me, I'm anointed. That's right. Don't mess with a believer who knows their place in God. Don't mess with a man or woman of God who knows their place of authority.
Right.
You don't want to take the holy, precious anointing of God. You don't want to challenge it,
no.
Meaning go against another believer, criticize them, go to Facebook, go pass around what some believe. Maybe another Christian missed it. Maybe they're sinning real bad. But the Bible says in Galatians 6:1, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted.
Yeah.
Amen. The moment you start insulting another believer for missing it in their life is the moment you just opened yourself up to temptation, and within a year, you will do something worse.
Sure. Yeah.
Listen, you need to err on the side of mercy.
Yeah.
The Bible says in Proverbs that a good man falls 7 times but gets up again.
Yes.
You are going to see people miss it.
Yeah.
This church isn't perfect. You're not perfect,
right.
And neither am I.
Right.
You know? But it is not our job to go out and try. Listen, we try to take the political realm, you know. This nation somewhere along the line just felt like it is just our job to just, I mean, be personal and attacking and all these things that are going on in the presidential race. But that kind of spirit is trying to get into the church where everyone's got an opinion against some other believer or some other minister. That does not have a place in the body of Christ. It does not have a place in this church or any church. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. You don't want to mess with what God has anointed. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm not going to get to all my message. I thought I would. And of course, I always have more than what we can get to. But this is the anointing of God. Listen, you are anointed to carry his precious, most holy thing. You are a vessel that has been anointed for his special uses. Don't allow any contaminating or corrupting influences upon your life. Because if you aren't going to serve God and be the instrument of his use, who will be? Who will be? You're anointed for the blessing of God. You're anointed to carry the heave offering. Hallelujah. You're anointed as kings and priests on this earth. Hallelujah. God's not going to let you go without. He's not going to let you crash and burn. Come on, you need to know and understand this. That anointing on the inside of you is absolutely indestructible. The world can't burn it. The world can't buy it. The world can't destroy it. The world can't trample on it. Listen, that anointing that is on the inside of you, it is of God. The world didn't give it. It can't take it away. The world can try to run you over with financial trouble or marital trouble or whatever kind of trouble. But I tell you what, that anointing that is on the inside of you, it pushes back from the inside. It is always able to carry and to bear up under anything and everything that would try to destroy you in this life. And some of you are going to walk out of here today and just think, well, okay, I heard that, and you're just going to go about your business. But the ones that are going to see this benefit their life are the ones that are going to say, I'm anointed of God. You're gonna build that into your character and your nature, and you're gonna take that to God in your relationship. You're gonna say it, you're gonna believe it, you're gonna move on it. And now because you know it and it's ingrained into your heart, you're not gonna take this world stepping all over you before you stand up and say, whoa, no. Poverty is not gonna reside in this house. Depression is not going to reside in this house. Guilt and shame in the past is not going to reside on me anymore. Amen. And you're going to say to yourself, I'm going to go and I'm going to be the proclaimer. I'm the proclaimer. Listen, I'm not trying to, you know, make it a tally sheet or a scorecard or something. But listen, there should be something inside every believer that says, man, you know, I remember when I first became a Christian and I first started serving the Lord, I remember saying, Lord, it is my goal that by the time I get to heaven, I'm going to look at 100 people that are going to be there because I served you. Okay? And then now, you know, Lord, I thank you. There's going to be 1,000 people that are going to be standing there before because I decided to be a vessel that was fit for the master's use. Now, Father, I thank you. There's going to be 10,000 that are going to be standing there because somebody decided to be fit for the master's use. Listen, we should have that goal. If your heart isn't just absolutely urgent for the harvest, then there's something wrong. Amen. How is God going to use your life? How is God going to use your life? You know, the reason why you're drudging through that same old job because you never realized that it was actually a harvest field. You didn't realize that it was actually a place that God anointed you to have influence. Listen, we need more Christian business leaders. Christians that start at the bottom, and just because the favor of God brings them to the top. We need people who will rise through the political spectrum, not because of their great experience or whatever, but because the favor of God is on them. Amen. We need that. Why? Because the anointing, they're different. We're different. Amen. I'm set apart. You're set apart. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we love you and praise you. You're so good. Father, we're kings and priests unto you.